Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. Boy, have I had a busy weekend. Phil, do you see what's on the TV? I got to start my show and look at a commercial for Vicky, I'm a Liar Schmidt. I mean, that should be illegal. Welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Here's a picture of Vicky Schmidt. We're going to talk about her here in a minute. Just what I want to see. El rhinoceros extraordinarius.
Been seeing that commercial a lot.
Oh, yeah, really. Me too. Yeah. Gee, Merry Christmas. Thrilled to have you here with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Follow me on X. I'm trying to get to 10,000.
Where yet now?
Still not at 10,000. I'm still trying. I'll keep trying. You know, I'm nothing if not persistent. So, coming up this Thursday, the 18th, the Sedgwick County Republican Party is hosting a governor's candidate roundtable discussion. We've got Ty Masterson, Phil Sarnicky, Charlotte O'Hara, and Scott Schwab will be there. Great conversation. We invited Vicky Schmidt. She did finally get back to us. She's got a scheduling conflict.
Okay.
The conflict is she's not a real Republican and doesn't want to answer questions. That's her conflict. Stacey Rogers was invited as well. She has another engagement. I don't know what it is. Finally, she's been invited to be included to the party, and she decides to have, you know, I don't know, got to wash her hair or something. So, whatever, but she was invited. So, you can lead a horse to water, can't make him drink.
That's right.
So that's coming up on the 18th at 6 o'clock at Wichita Area Builders Association, mm-hmm. right there on Main Street. Yep. You can find information on the Sedgwick County website, sedgwick.gop. And they also have yard signs, vote yes yard signs available. They're only $10. They look great. Get yourself one. Sedgwick.gop. Tonight, Attorney General Chris Kobach will be with us here in just about, 10 minutes less to explain why he opposes clemency for Kansas death penalty or death row inmates who are trying to get those convictions, overturned clemency from the governor. My buddy Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will join us at 8 o'clock to explain why Democrats and their allies in the media are bending themselves over backwards and into pretzels to defend Mein Kampf main candidate Graham Plattner. And we'll also talk. We'll begin our House now. We'll move on to the Kansas House and start talking to 2026 candidate House candidates, and we'll start with Republican candidate for Kansas House District 101, Kevin O'Brien. That is Joe Seiwert's House District out there in Western, real close to me. So, and, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. Folks, you know, there are some decisions in life that require a little research. Buying a house, buying a car, getting married. You know, most normal people wouldn't walk into a dealership, you know, throw $50,000 at the salesman and say, hey, don't bother showing me the vehicle. Don't need a test drive. I like surprises. Nobody walks down the wedding aisle, says I've never actually spoken to her, but she's got a really nice Instagram page. I guess maybe if you're doing a Russian mail order bride, but yet somehow every election cycle, thousands of voters do exactly that. They vote for candidates they've never vetted, they've never questioned, they've never researched, and then act shocked when those politicians get to Topeka or Washington or City Hall and start voting like they're auditioning for a different party. If you're going to marry somebody, you ought to know their history. If you're going to hand somebody power over your taxes, your schools, your rights, and your future, you should know them even more. Trust but verify. I think I've heard that before. And actually, scratch that. In politics, verify first, and then verify them again. And then you can only kind of trust them, because after all, they're politicians. Ronald Reagan once joked, politics is supposed to be the second oldest profession. I've come to realize it bears a very close resemblance to the first. He was right. Every election year proves he was right, because candidates show up promising one thing and then governing another way. Conservatives suddenly become moderates. Moderates suddenly become liberals. And at some point, politicians reinvent themselves so often, they ought to come with software updates. And case in point, Vicky Schmidt. As a state senator, Vicky Schmidt voted with the abortion industry a staggering 53 times. 53, not five, not once. Everybody gets a mistake. Heck, I voted once to raise taxes. Huh. Yeah, I did. I know. You know, fool me once. Not 10 times, 53 times. At some point, that's not a voting record. That's a baby killer loyalty program. She deserves a Planned Parenthood membership gold card. I mean, you get your 10th vote, you get a punch card. 20 votes, maybe free coffee. 53 votes, they're naming an abortion clinic after her. I mean, it's Vicky Schmidt, folks. And yet now we're supposed to believe she's a good Republican choice for governor? Really? If a candidate spent years voting one way and then suddenly discovers our party platform right before filing for office, that's not a conversion. That's a marketing campaign. And I get it. People can change. But if you're claiming you've changed, then explain it. Talk about it. Answer questions. Do a debate. Defend your record. She won't. Some of these others won't either. Just don't hope voters have memory of a goldfish. Then we got another phenomenon that's becoming increasingly common, and that's the mystery candidate. Sort of like that old game that your, you know, kids used to play, Mystery Date, back in the 50s and 60s. The candidate who posts conservative memes, posts conservative slogans, you know, the picture with the flag, the picture holding a gun. It's probably got a little orange plastic thing in the end of the barrel. Post pictures standing next to cows and tractors and veterans. Hey, you know, Sharice Davids was on a picture of a combine not too while ago. Picks a, you know, picture with a firefighter, maybe with an eagle or something. Lots of convenient endorsements from little-known pastors and quote-unquote conservatives. But ask them an actual policy question, crickets, radio silence. In House District 72, we've got one of those. A former Wichita Eagle journalist, and I use that term loosely because he was with the Eagle, running as a quote-unquote conservative. And every time someone asks a substantive question, suddenly he's busier than Hunter Biden's laptop repairman. Won't answer questions, won't answer surveys, won't answer questionnaires. But on social media, hoo-hoo, he's fantastic. Every post sounds like he personally wrote the Republican Party platform. You know what that's like? It's like a guy on a dating app posting pictures of himself on a yacht. Then you discover it's not his yacht. He's just standing on the dock. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy's out standing on a dock. It's Michael Stavola, House District 72. A campaign Facebook page is not a voting record. A campaign mailer is not a voting record. A yard sign's not a voting record. It's just you acting like you're on a dock. A candidate's actual record is their record. Imagine applying that standard everywhere else. Well, Your Honor, I know the bank records show I robbed the bank, but have you seen my Instagram? I posted a Bible verse yesterday. That's not how it works. The bigger problem is that politicians get away with it because voters let them. That's the uncomfortable truth. We spend more time researching a $30 air fryer on Amazon than we do researching candidates. We'll read 500 reviews before buying a vacuum cleaner, but some people walk into the voting booth and say, hey, I saw a commercial. That's good enough for me. Martha down at the Pig and Poke told me I should vote for so-and-so. That's good enough for me. Why did this politician do that? Because they told us who you were. Well, or they didn't in this case, because you didn't bother checking. Or worse, they won't answer questions and voters rewarded them anyway. We got another governor candidate, for example, running all over the state claiming to be a grassroots champion. But anytime somebody asks them a question, they just delete the questions and bar them from their Facebook page. Politicians are like used salesmen. The ones who won't let you look under the hood usually know exactly what's under the hood, and it's rarely good for you. Questionnaires matter, debates matter, interviews matter, records matter. Anybody can tell you what they're going to do. The real question is, what have they already done? Because past behavior remains the best predictor of future behavior. If someone voted 53 times with the abortion industry, maybe, just maybe, that tells you something. Maybe they're abortionists. If someone won't answer questions today, maybe that tells you something, too. If someone won't sit down at the rest of the field at a forum, well, maybe they're afraid to. Elections are job interviews. That's all they are. Candidates are applying for power. You're the hiring manager. You know, imagine hiring someone without doing a background check. Not good enough. Folks, vet your candidates. Ask questions. Demand answers. Read voting records and ignore the slick mailers. Because after Election Day, campaign promises disappear. Voting records don't. And remember, if you're going to marry somebody, you should know who they are before the wedding. And if you're going to give someone power to spend your money, make your laws, and represent your values, they'd better share those values. The problem isn't that politicians sometimes fool voters. The problem is too many voters make it too damn easy for them to do it. Coming up, we'll take a quick break, and then Attorney General Chris Kobach will be with us to explain why he strongly opposes clemency for Kansas death row inmates and is urging Governor Kelly to reject those requests. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Folks, less than 1% of Kansas's population are attorneys, yet they control the entire Kansas Supreme Court selection process. 21 states already use direct judicial elections. Why shouldn't our Supreme Court be elected the same way? Should be no different. Visit votersnotlawyers.com and find out more. And, of course, while you're at it, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach is calling on Governor Kelly to reject clemency requests filed by nearly all of the state's death row inmates. The general says that granting clemency would override the decisions of juries, judges, and appellate courts, while denying long-awaited justice to victims' families. He joins us now to discuss why he believes these requests should be denied. General, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show, my friend.
Great to be with you, John. And it's interesting, you mentioned two issues in your intro. One, the question of changing the way we select our Supreme Court justices in Kansas, which right now is not working, and moving toward elections, which 22 states use and which Kansas used for the first century of our existence.
Right.
And the death row commutation, the reason they are linked is the current Kansas Supreme Court twice tried to set aside the death penalty of the Carr brothers and twice was flipped by the U.S. Supreme Court because the Kansas Supreme Court was wrong. Not just slightly wrong, but completely wrong. So much so that Justice Scalia said the second time around, do they even read our opinions, referring to the Kansas Supreme Court? So we have a state Supreme Court that is very dead set against the death penalty and, you know, bends over backward to try to foil the execution of those sentenced to the death penalty. And we have a chance on August 4th, we the people of Kansas can once and for all return to electing our justices as Kansans did for a century, and we won't have such a anti-death penalty Supreme Court as we do now.
Well, and, you know, 8 of the 9 inmates on death row have now filed these clemency petitions. Do you think, I mean, based on, I know the two of you aren't friends, but do you think that Laura Kelly will consider these at all, or do you think that she's likely to ignore to deny these clemency requests?
You know, I really don't know, John. I know that she is against the death penalty, as are most members of her party and the guy I'm running against again for attorney general. But, you know, on the other hand, I know that there's the other factor here that so many jurors, you have the jurors in these cases, you have the judges who review the appeals, you have the entire Kansas judicial system, which has come to the very firm conclusion that the death penalty is warranted and there is no doubt whatsoever of the guilt. And these are among the worst of the worst crimes. So, you know, on the other hand, you would hope that someone against the death penalty generally would say, well, in light of all that the system of Kansas and the people of Kansas and the families of the victims have endured and invested, these death penalties should stand. So I really don't know where the governor is standing, but I'm urging Kansans to write her and email her and just say, please do not commute these death sentences. And just to put this in perspective, as you know, but many listeners may not know, we haven't executed anyone in Kansas since 1965. That's, you know, beyond the lifetime of many of the listeners to this show right now. That's how long it's been. And on death row in Kansas is less than 1% of all the homicide defendants. In other words, less than 1% of those convicted of homicide are actually on death row. It is the worst of the worst of the worst. And the notion that we can't actually, you know, get to the end of the line and execute someone in Kansas who has committed one of these horrific crimes like those committed by the Carr brothers is just, it's beyond reason. So at any rate, if the lawyers who are trying to get these inmates sentences commuted prevail, that will be yet another knife in the back of Kansans who just want to see justice and just want to stand up for the victims' families.
We're talking with Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach. You've warned against what you call substituting a governor's personal policy preference for the decisions of juries and courts. What happens next in the process? I mean, what's the timeline for public comment and the governor's decision? Does she have, we know, like, for example, with the right now there's an opening on the Kansas Supreme Court. She has a couple of months where she can do that. How long does she have on this?
You know, in theory, she could take as long as she wants on this. Of course, she will only be governor until the second week of January, but she doesn't have a clock that's ticking. And so right now the board is reviewing the clemency applications. Then the board will issue a recommendation to the governor, but she doesn't need to follow it either way. So, you know, ultimately the governor has until the end of her term if she wishes to string it out that long. But as we know, lame duck governors, as Governor Kelly is, have a tendency to do things like pardon people and issue clemency decisions that go against what the people of their state want during these lame duck sessions. And presidents do the same thing.
Right.
And so it's really important for people to, you know, to write to Governor Kelly and say, please don't, you know, pardon these individuals, these horrific murderers who have caused so much grief and pain to the families of the loved ones who were slain and to the community. I mean, I think Wichita in particular has endured so much grief because of these horrific homicides. So anyway, it's important for people to speak up, and I'm just hoping and praying the governor, allows these death penalties to stand.
really quick, I know I've got to let you run, but your office announced this week that Kansas's legal challenge to the Biden-era Title IX rule has ended in, well, I mean, what could best be described as a complete victory. The rule would have forced, or the ruling rather, would have forced schools to grant biological males access to women's bathrooms, locker rooms, and sports teams based on gender identity. You've called it a complete victory for women and girls. This was a biggie, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. So when Biden was president, I personally argued the case, arguing that his Title IX rule was against federal law and unconstitutional, and won the case in front of the federal district judge in Wichita. I argued the case in Wichita in front of Judge Brooms. Judge Brooms agreed that, indeed, the Biden rule that would have allowed this was illegal and unconstitutional. And then, if Kamala Harris had won, we would have gone on to the Court of Appeals. Hopefully the decision would have stood. But since Trump won, the Trump administration came in and said, you know what, the state of Kansas was right. We are going to rescind the Biden rule. We're going to get rid of the Biden rule. We're going to replace it with a rule that respects women, respects the meaning of Title IX, the statute. And so that's what's happened. The new rule has come into place, and so the case is over. We no longer need to go to the appellate stage, and with the help of the Trump administration, we can you know, dust off our hands and say, okay, we're done here.
This is a good example of, you know, elections have consequences. Do you believe this legal victory effectively settles the debate over Title IX, or are we really just waiting until, you know, hopefully 2028, and hopefully we don't get a Pete Buttigieg or somebody like that, or AOC, or who knows, Kamala. I mean, their bench is pretty weak. But if we get another Democrat in the White House.
You know, I think theoretically, if a left-wing Democrat president were elected in 2028 and really wanted to, you know, reinstate this rule granting trans males access to all sorts of locker room facilities and other facilities for females that are reserved for biological females, they could try to reenact or reissue the Biden rule. But I think if they have a decent attorney general, that future president would think twice, because we did beat them in court and beat them soundly. So hopefully this issue is over. But, you know, especially with this, you know, these various questions flowing from the trans agenda, you never know what's coming next. So, yeah, I've learned to say, no, the victory is not necessarily final.
No, I think you're right. And again, it depends on who, but AOC, some of the others, well, actually pretty much everyone, everyone on their bench is, I mean, look at Cindy Holscher, some of the ones, their leading candidate for governor. Yeah. She's all in on this agenda. Chris, if folks want to reach out to you, they can find you on X at Chris Kobach 1787, and that's obviously with K's, and then a chriskobach.com online, correct?
That is correct, and I want to urge all of your listeners who are residents of Kansas to please vote yes for the referendum on the ballot on August 4th that would return Kansas to an elected Supreme Court like we had for the first 100 years of statehood, and that would do much to, you know, end some of the craziness coming out of the Kansas Supreme Court.
Amen, General. And we need to get you back down here to Wichita. Would love to see you again. It's been a while.
I will be down there this coming week.
Oh, well, fantastic. Hey, let's when you're down, shoot me a text. I'd love to see you. I'll buy you coffee.
All right. Sounds good, John.
Thank you, sir. Good to see you. Thank you again for joining us. Coming up, we'll continue our 2026 candidate profiles with Republican candidate for House District 101, Kevin O'Brien. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, if you're away from your radio, you can always listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And make sure you like and follow us on Facebook and social media. Follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. I need more followers. It's driving me crazy. I'm stuck. I want to get to 10,000. Help me get there. All right. Every election cycle, we try to bring you as many candidates running for local, state, and federal office as we can so you have the opportunity to hear from them yourselves. We invite everybody if possible. Some of them, you know, refuse. Case in point, Vicki Schmidt. But we try. So each week between now and Election Day, we're going to bring you a candidate or two. If there's someone in particular you want to hear from, email me, john@knssradio.com, and we will try and get them on the schedule. All that being said, joining us now is Kevin O'Brien. He's running for House District 101. That is a seat that is currently being held by Representative Joe Seiwert, buddy of mine. I served with Joe. He's retiring. He's not seeking reelection. So that seat is open. It is a contested race. We will have Kevin's opponent. His name is Casey Slaughter. We'll have Casey on next week. Kevin is a lifetime resident, a self-described grassroots advocate for representing the voice of voters. He also owns O'Brien Marina out in Cheney. I've actually been to your store there out in Cheney because, as you know, I represented Cheney when I was in the legislature. Kevin, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Well, thank you, John, for having me on. And this is quite the experience for me.
Oh, I'm sure.
As I'm not been in this arena before. So the good news is I don't have a voting record, as you referred to, for people to go back. So I need to get my best foot out as quick as I can to let everybody know what I want to do for them.
Well, and that's my first question that I always ask candidates in these is why? I mean, I know you've got a business. I remember when Cheney was so dry and the, you know, the news would go out and talk to you about how bad that was hurting your business. I know the marina is still open, so yes. You're not out of business. Why would you want to, trust me, by the way, ain't going to make any money in the legislature. I know they gave themselves a pay raise, but it's still not that much better. Why run for office?
Well, we met Joe about a year and a half, 2 years ago over issues about the lake. And Joe, I guess, felt like I represented a lot of the values that he wanted to see in someone that replaced him. And he pretty much did his Joe thing and got me involved and got me running to fill his shoes, which are big shoes.
Oh, very much so.
And the good news is Joe's supporting me 100%. In fact, Joe gave me my first donation.
So. Oh, that's good. Now, is he endorsing you or is he staying out of this race?
Joe can talk very, very well. I would like to think he endorses me, but I don't think he's actually used the words endorse, but he's let me know, 100% I'm with you. We've got pictures out on the Facebook page of him and I outside of the marina.
I've seen those pictures. It's a good looking picture. Well, you might ask him for that word and then post that on social media. That could be useful.
Very good. Very good.
The House, the Kansas House and Senate leaders have pushed for aggressive spending cuts. They've done a pretty good job. I mean, just this year they cut another $200 million. But the state is facing a budget shortfall. And, you know, I mean, for whether or not you, you know, right or wrong, they're facing a shortfall. Budget cuts are going to be a major issue coming up if you get elected. What would be your solution to addressing the budget shortfall? Is it a taxing issue? Is it a spending issue?
Well, I think it's a spending issue. I don't think we need to have any more taxes put out there, but I kind of feel like we're administratively heavy. I know I heard one of the candidates refer to the 105 counties, 1,400 townships, 284 school districts, compared to other states that are a little, quite a bit larger than us, and their numbers aren't even close to that. So I think there's room there to look at that and find ways that we can reduce the administrative overhead find some budget cuts.
Yeah, I think that's probably obviously that's the easiest way to do it, is to go at it in that regard. I'm glad to hear that you're not a supporter of taxes. Not many of our listeners would be up for that.
that's suicide.
Along those lines, both of the chambers and the legislature support property tax reform, but they couldn't agree. Right. I mean, they were divided on the mechanics of how to accomplish that. What are your thoughts on property taxes?
Well, first on the property tax, as far as for farmers, I think the current system needs to be left alone, as is, as far as determining the value of agricultural land. Secondly, like I said, I think we need to get some of those administrative tax authorities out of the program. And I would almost say we need to see if we can find a way to help elderly people. You know, once they pay their house off, you know, after paying a mortgage for 20 to 30 years, you know, many of these people are spending more money now on just taxes, property tax, than they were on their mortgage payment, their insurance, and property tax 20 years ago when they first bought their house.
Yeah.
So I think we need to find something in there for the elderly and help them.
You know, I remember Derek Schmidt, you know, when he ran for governor, he had this idea of retire free in Kansas, and that was on income taxes. But I've often thought, you know, we could do something similar on property taxes, where we say, look, if you're retired, if you're military, if you're something like that, we do property tax exemptions or something. Because you're right. I mean, they've got too many people, especially out in our neck of the woods, out in western Sedgwick County, and yes. You know, people are getting taxed out of their homes, and that's just not – I mean, that's not something that – like, if you want people to stay in Kansas, you got to make it affordable for them to stay in Kansas. Yeah,
and the rural areas, you know, is where you're losing a lot of population.
Right,
and,
yes.
And, you know, 28% of District 1 is rural.
Are the let me ask you, we're talking with Kevin O'Brien. He's running for House District 101. What are your thoughts, real quick, and then we'll take a quick break. What are your thoughts on Medicaid expansion?
Well, long story short, I had a very bad accident back in 24 and had extensive surgeries and a month stay, four surgeries and a stay in the hospital for over about a month, and came out very well. The bills were taken care of by Medicare, and of course I had a supplemental to that, so that helped on all the deductibles. But I did see some things as far as billing from doctors that shocked me, and that's probably where I'll suggest maybe we need to look at that a little bit.
Not a fan of Medicaid, of expanding Medicaid, then?
I'm not for sure at this point.
Oh, like
I'm a little too green. I'm a little too green for that kind of question, but
that would be
I'm learning fast.
That would be one I would recommend you figure out, because that'll be a hot button issue in the legislature. And if you're unsure on that one you're going to want to get an answer on. I'll trust you. One more quick question, then we'll take a break. The constitutional amendment on judicial selection is coming up on the same time that you are. Yep. Do you have a position on that? Have you picked a side on that one?
Yes, I was out in Hutchinson last Tuesday, and actually this is the second time I've got to follow Chris Kobach. He was out there giving a speech about it. Very informative, and yes, we need to get the right back to the people to select our justices for the Supreme Court in Kansas. There's just no if and or two buts about it. The method that's there currently that was put in 1958 needs to go away.
Perfect. Well, that's I completely agree with you. We'll take a quick break. We're talking with Kevin O'Brien, candidate for House District 101. We'll continue our profile with Kevin here after the break. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for everyone. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city and our state. Make your voice heard today by visiting AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show on social media and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. I'm trying to get to 10,000. Come on, folks. Go make yourself, get yourself signed up on X and give me a little help there. Real quick, I want to circle back to, I think you misunderstood Medicaid and Medicare. Medicaid, that's seniors. Medicare. See, even I did it. Medicare, that's seniors. My folks are on Medicare. I'm not quite there yet, but I will be soon. Maybe another 10 years. Medicaid, that's the, you know, that's the 35-year-old work-able single adult who just needs to get a freaking job. So I'll ask you again, Medicaid expansion.
Yeah, if they're able to work.
Able-bodied, without kids, without lines, exactly.
No kids and everything else. No, we don't need to be having their medical expenses on the tax.
That's okay. I figured as much, but yeah, I'm glad we circled back. No, you're fine. You're fine.
I appreciate it.
Let's cover a few basic. By the way, we're talking with Kevin O'Brien. He's a House candidate for House District 101. Let's cover a few basic party platform issues. You're registered Republican, obviously. Where do you stand on basic party platforms like the Second Amendment and the right to life?
Well, obviously pro-life. We've already been endorsed by the Kansas for Life, and we're glad to be able to help in that situation, and that kind of goes back to that Supreme Court vote. I think that will help right that ship that got way out of line a couple of years ago when that vote came through, so definitely pro-life. Second Amendment, I don't want to see anything touched on the Second Amendment. It needs to stay as intact because, let's face it, it's the Second Amendment. Our forefathers decided that was, you know, right behind freedom of speech, that was the next one. So it's very important. It needs to be left intact.
I like to think the second ensures all the rest of the first and all the other.
So yeah, that's a good point.
Kind of the way I look at it. And I didn't realize that you actually had received the endorsement from KFL. So yes. That's a big deal, especially out in your district. The KFL endorsement, that's a biggie. What are your thoughts on, you know, multiple Kansas schools are now either threatening to sue or getting ready to sue the state claiming they're not adequately funding K-12 education. What are your thoughts on K-12 education and school choice?
Well, I think everybody wants to have a good education system. I think Kansas has gotten slipped a little bit. I know one of the gubernatorial candidates had visited with, I think it was the state of Mississippi, where they used to be in the bottom five nationally, and now they're in the top 10 and what they did. And what I heard, I think that's a good model to follow, and I think we can get there and get our education levels back up. But we've got to make sure that the money that's coming into the school districts is going to it is getting down to the education of the children and not lost in the administrative costs again.
Are you, do you support the idea of school choice?
Yes, I do.
Medical marijuana is going to be an issue that comes up again. They've addressed it. I don't know if the House will take it up. They might with the new House Speaker. What are your thoughts on marijuana? And if you haven't looked at it, then you can just say, I haven't had a chance to look at it.
I haven't looked at it. I know there's a lot of states that have passed it. I'm just going to have to look at it.
Yep. That's a fair answer.
I bet I could argue both sides of the coin. And
I'm sure you could.
that doesn't help anybody.
No, no, I'm sure you could. And, you know, you heard the interview with the Attorney General. I have a sneaking suspicion you're probably going to agree, but what are your thoughts on the protection for women and girls sports? I mean, I
love what he got accomplished, yeah. And it needs to stay. I can't believe anybody in their right mind would ever push it the other way. It shocks me as a Kansan.
I ask this question of all candidates because I think it's essential that we elect conservative Republicans. Will you support the Republican nominee up and down the ballot in November, regardless of whether or not it's you, and not only in your race, but in the governor's race as well?
Well, first of all, I'm going to support myself.
that obviously.
But yes, I'm going to support the Republican Party up and down the ticket. The CPAC has already given me their endorsement also. And so I want conservative values back in Topeka.
Did you vote for Donald Trump and Derek
Schmidt?
Yeah. See, and that's, yep. And these are fair questions. There are a lot of, but you'd be surprised how many times mm-hmm. I've asked this of Republicans who then equivocate on that last one. And they, I'm okay. You didn't vote for the president, but now you want president supporters to vote for you. Good luck for that. Kevin, if folks are interested, again, it's Kevin O'Brien. You're running for House District 101. The primary is coming up on the 4th. If folks are interested, if they have questions, if they want to volunteer or donate, they can do so. They can find information for you on your Facebook page, correct? It's O'Brien for Kansas House. Is that right?
Kevin O'Brien.
Kevin House O'Brien Trump, yes. For Kansas House. All right, my friend. Well, I wish you all the best of luck. And of course, if they need, if they're heading out to Cheney, and they need anything out there, they need to go to O'Brien's Marina.
Yes, and they'll get educated on the Supreme Court vote, I'll guarantee
you. There we go. See, look at that. Now what we need is O'Brien's Marina advertising on KNSS. All right, thank you again for joining us, my friend. We'll take a quick break, and then my buddy Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will try and explain why Democrats are defending Graham Plattner. We'll be back right after this. So a surprising debate is unfolding around the legacy of the Me Too movement. New York Times reporter Jody Cantor, one of the journalists most closely associated with exposing sexual misconduct during the Me Too era, is now, backpedaling? I don't know. She's defending Graham Plattner and what she calls classic Me Too accusations.
Well, let's talk about what they may or may not be willing to overlook. The accusations against Graham Plattner are not classic Me Too accusations. They're not about a boss
I love that.
And a young female employee being subjected to sexual advances. They were mostly made in the context of consensual relationships.
Oh, that makes
it okay.
There
are these, very sensational texts about sex. There are allegations from former girlfriends that are not, the way my colleagues reported them, were not like classic abuse allegations.
Okay.
They were mostly like, being his boyfriend gave me a view into him, and I did not like what I saw. His character was scary. He had this Nazi tattoo, etc. There was one allegation of crossing a line physically.
One.
But I think that means that these are pretty different accusations than, say, the ones that President Trump
faced. So other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? Her comments have reignited questions about how allegations are evaluated, whether standards are applied consistently, and what the movement actually means anymore, now that, of course, it applies to Democrats. With us now to try and unravel that nonsense is Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. All right, Curtis.
Hold on. I have to say, you sounded like me. I just started my vacation yesterday. You sounded like me at the beach earlier today.
You mean singing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to say, when you crack open the beer and you're...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you're sitting at the beach, yeah.
Yeah.
Jody Cantor, though, I mean, she is like, I mean, this, I think people forget that, she defined what Me Too is.
Yes.
She won a Pulitzer Prize. Her life, her reporting on Harvey Weinstein was turned into a movie.
And now, and now she's here trying to say that Graham Plattner doesn't count because it's fundamentally different with the types of misconduct. How do you even make that stretch?
Well, let me just start off by saying I know Lindsay Fifield, actually. I've known her for many years. I wouldn't say we're friends. I've seen her a few times a year, but she is a lovely person, a salt of the earth type person. And I know she feels terribly about how everything ended up with the New York Times, that she was lulled into this and the way the story was constructed. But for Jody Cantor to come out and say, well, it was because people just thought he was a bad boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, I would say.
In the case of Lindsay, him grabbing her by the arm, throwing her in a room, closing the door and barricading it so she couldn't get out, to the point that she had to basically fall asleep and spend the night there until she calmed down, I would say is abusive.
You think?
It's so horrible. It's the kind of thing that, you know, we teach our kids that, and that, like, shows, dramas are made about, you know, scenarios are probably drawn up for therapists when they're going through training, or things that they see, unfortunately, in counseling sessions. But Jody Cantor, women didn't like the way he behaved.
Right.
And I just think that is just so, it's so hollow. It's so empty. It just reeks of partisanship. You know, it's incredible what some people do and how quickly some people can just nuke their credibility. I mean, in less than 90 seconds, she completely threw away her broad strokes of appeal. Now, a lot of us knew she's a liberal. I mean, she works for the New York Times. But, like, the tone of her stories, her Me Too reporting was very kind of general, kind of talking about all sorts of extreme examples with Harvey Weinstein in particular, that people would say, yeah, that's not acceptable. And for her to say, well, this isn't that big of a deal and people will probably tolerate this. And, oh, by the way, Donald Trump, you know, E. Jean Carroll can't remember where it happened, what day it happened. Christine Blasey Ford, whom Jody Cantor did a lot of reporting on behalf of, couldn't recall when it happened. The five people she gave to the FBI, none of them could corroborate the story. And in that case, it was two high schoolers that happened to Brett Kavanaugh. Not that it would make it okay, but it's just, you know, in terms of a power dynamic, these are two adults. And obviously, you look at Graham Plattner, he's a very large man.
Yeah. The double standard here is laughable. By the way, we're talking with Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. And I got another one for you. There's another great example of the double standard. This is from CNN Newsnight. A guy from Media's Touch, Adam Mockler, defending Oyster Gruppenfuhrer Graham Plattner. And I love that, Oyster Gruppenfuhrer. Graham Plattner's Nazi tattoo. As merely, it's just a weird tattoo.
There probably is more coming out, don't you think, Adam?
There could be, but we are now witnessing the post-cancellation, post-purity style of politics that the Republican Party has ushered in. I'm not going to sit here and defend things Graham Plattner did in his past. Not even Graham Plattner defends these things that he did in his past. But we have watched for a decade as Republicans have repeatedly lowered the threshold, lowered the standards for their candidates. And now Democrats are going to keep holding our candidates to an infinitely higher standard while we have Ken Paxton in Texas, while we have Donald Trump sitting in the Oval Office right now. And I guess it remains to be seen, but I also want to
reframe. Is it a high standard or is it a low standard?
Listen,
I'm not sure that he's being held to a higher standard than anybody else.
Well, but the Republican Party is absolutely holding him to a higher standard than they hold their own candidates. I mean, Donald Trump had a sit-down dinner with Nick Fuentes, and the very same people who were silent about that are now clutching their pearls about this admittedly weird tattoo that Graham Plattner has apologized
and
for.
It's
a weird tattoo, but it's okay look at the Republicans. It's a Nazi tattoo.
Yeah, this is the Midas Touch kid that got... He went crying to Tommy Christopher at Mediaite when I tweeted a few months ago that he needs to be shoved into a locker.
Yes.
Because he's the kind of dweeb whom we all knew from school. He was one of those smart alecks.
Oh, yeah.
Who he would say a lot of punk punkish things. And then when someone wanted to throw it back at him, he ran away, ran crying into the corner. He ran to the teacher, said, so-and-so was mean to me.
Yeah.
Please do something.
Yeah, this is a kid that I wanted to put his head in a toilet and flush it.
Yeah, what's interesting is it takes a lot for Mrs. CNN Thunderdome, Abby Phillip, to actually tell a fellow Democrat, you know, really, to kind of not quite be totally on board with something. That takes a lot. It's almost impressive. And, you know, with Plattner, he's mixing apples and oranges here. He's talking about a Nick Fuentes dinner when, with Plattner, it's about how he treated women, and it is an actual Nazi tattoo. You know, the Today Show and a few others that I've been covering over the last couple of weeks have said it's a symbol, some say, or may resemble,
no.
or might resemble.
No.
And you're like, it's a yes or no question.
Yes. Have you ever watched a Nazi, a German movie, World War II movie? It's the skull and crossbones on every SS officer's uniform. It's a Nazi tattoo. I mean, these people. And that's why I love, you know, that they call him Oyster Gruppenführer. I mean, the guy, look.
And he's not even a real oyster farmer, I should say, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean,
yes.
He basically does it for his mom's restaurant.
Yes.
His oyster farming was started up by a rich friend of his who also went to a boarding school back in the day. That's the other thing. Plattner is not actually working class. I said this on Newsmax's Rights Squad the other night. You wonder how much is actually real about Graham Plattner.
Well,
like, everything he says about himself is not true.
I think the fact that he was a Nazi sympathizer and that he's an abuser are real. I think those things are real.
Right. Well, and also where Midas Touch Kid goes awry, as he says, about Plattner, like basically owning up to his response, you know, his behavior. Actually, he hasn't, because he basically has said, well, I had PTSD and I had a drinking problem, as if to kind of be like, well, yeah. I may have done some things. I may have like hit, you know, been abusive towards girlfriends, but like, it's okay because I wasn't like right in the head or whatever.
Right. That excuses it. I mean,
yeah, exactly. It's offensive.
It is. Thank you. That's a great way of putting it. It is offensive. And the what's so laughable about all of this, and you heard it in that clip, is it's all about, well, what about them? It's the what about isms. It's but the Republicans, and but Donald Trump is mean, and he says mean things, and he tweets mean things, as if that makes what this guy, what Graham Plattner did, better. Because, oh, well, there are some Republicans that do mean things,
yeah,
too. So
we all know people like this in our lives, John.
Yes.
They're always passing the buck. It's always someone else's fault.
Right.
And even then, in our personal lives, we just shake our heads at that.
Yeah. Well, and we want to shove them in a locker. Curtis, I love you, brother. It's always great to have you on. If folks want to read stuff from you or watch some of these clips, they can find it at newsbusters.org, correct?
Absolutely. Stay tuned. The Obama Library opening this week, folks. We have a massive package coming out later this week of Obamagasms.
And it's such a lovely building, too. It looks like a big old pile of metal garbage stacked on it. It's just such an architectural, just a beautiful building. I'll be nice. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Curtis, thank you, brother. Carry on the fight, my friend.
Take care.
Thanks, brother. We'll take a quick break and then the rest of the show is yours. I'm turning it over to you. We'll take calls. I've already got. So look at that, Phil. I don't even have to ask. They're already called. The rest of the show is yours. 316-869-1330. Call in. Studio lines are open. 869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. And I've said it before, less than 1% of Kansas's population are attorneys. 55 Kansas counties already elect their judges. The Supreme Court shouldn't be any different. Visit votersnotlawyers.com and find out more. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X. I need more followers. Please, please, may I have some more? Get all the latest updates on the show. Don't forget, this Thursday, the 18th, the Central County Republican Party is hosting a Republican governor's candidate roundtable discussion, and we will be carrying that live here on the air.
I will be here.
Phil will be in studio.
And
so
you will be there.
I will be there. Mm-hmm. Kim Gish and I will be asking questions of the candidates.
Great.
Senator Ty Masterson, Secretary of State Scott Schwab, Philip Sarnicky, and Charlotte O'Hara. We invited Vicki Schmidt and Stacey Rogers, and they are not available. So, but at least the four that we did invite will be there, and we'll have some great conversations. So I have got three callers already lined up. So we're going to take Ken first, and then we'll go to Terry. Terry, hold on. We'll try and get to you before the break. If not, we'll get to you immediately following. Ken, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thanks for sticking around.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. My question was this vote now is going to determine whether Kansas voters want to vote to replace when needed a Supreme Court judge.
Well, they would have to run for office just like any other candidate, like our district court judges do. Yes, correct.
Well, that there was my, I guess it comes down to my question, run like any other candidate. You know, when you start putting money into selection of those judges like the Supreme Court judges, which is a lot different from local judges, you know, you're just asking for trouble, in my view.
It really isn't. I mean, you got to keep in mind there currently is already money in that system because they right now run for retention, and the Bar Association dumps a bunch of money into those elections. They currently, whenever they run for retention election, they're getting money because they have to raise. The difference is you don't ever have to get a chance to talk to them. They don't campaign. They're still getting campaign donations when they run for retention election, but you don't get to have, they don't have to answer to the voters. So they never do forums and they don't register by party affiliation. So you don't know, are they a Republican? You don't know if they're, in favor of, what their stands are on the Second Amendment, what their stands are on taxes or reform or women and girls sports or life or any of those things. And more importantly, you have no say. The last time I from what I understand, there are something like 3,000 attorneys in Kansas, and these numbers may be off, but the number of actual lawyers who actually voted on the last
selection of judges to get them onto the panel. I mean, it's minuscule. It's less than 4%, something like that. I mean, I bet there are listeners to this show right now that don't know there's currently an opening on the Kansas Supreme Court. And that the three people that this, quote-unquote, nonpartisan merit-based system put forward, two of the people that are currently up were rejected by the Kansas Senate when they were upper district court judge. They were rejected as not qualified. And yet this, quote-unquote, merit-based process just put them forward as candidates for the Supreme Court. You have no say as a voter. You have no voice in this process. If 33 states can do this, why can't we? If that many counties can do this, why can't we? Why can't, you know, if it's good enough for our judges here in Sedgwick County, and we've got some great district court judges, if 22 states already do it, why can't we? If, like I said, 55 counties can do it, why can't we do it for the Supreme Court? The only reason they're protecting this is because it's a power grab. And frankly, if we're going to grab power, we should put that power in the hands of people, not in the hands of a bunch of elitist lawyers sitting behind closed doors where we have no transparency and no sight from the people. And I think it's so funny that the left and the Democrats and their friends in the media are so protective of this process, and then they go around and claiming it's merit-based. Well, who knows if it is? Because you won't share it. I mean, the whole process is just, it's jury-rigged, frankly. But I appreciate the call, Ken, and I want to, we're going to have, in fact, let's see if we can do it next week. We'll try and get someone on, Ken, next Sunday. I will bring in, and here's what I'll do for you, Ken. I'll bring in one from both sides. I'll bring in someone who's in favor of the amendment, and I'll bring in someone who's opposed. And we'll have that conversation next Sunday. How about that? We'll take a quick break, and then we're going to get with Terry, who wants to talk about Phil Sarnicky. I like Phil. He's had him on the show a number of times. He's one of the gubernatorial candidates running for Kansas GOP governor, who will be with us Thursday for the roundtable discussion. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, if you're away from your radio, you can always listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And go follow me on X. I keep trying. You know, it's like you say, Phil. Persistence, persistence, persistence. John R. Whitmer on X. Follow me, please.
The answer's always no unless you ask.
That's right. That's right. It's like, you know, how do you think I got my wife? Well, she lost a bet, but, you know. Don't forget, Thursday night, Sedgwick County GOP is hosting a Republican governor's candidate roundtable discussion with the GOP candidates for governor. You can come join us live. It's going to be a packed house. It's at the Wichita Area Builders Association there on North Main. Doors open at 6, and we'll be broadcasting it live here on KNSS as well. So, but it's always better in person.
An hour long, if I'm correct.
More or less.
More or less. I mean, no commercials.
No commercials. So we'll start at 7. We'll probably end around 8, a little after. But
lots of good information. Yes. So listen, but if you can make it down there.
Make it down in person is always better. Yeah. And if you're looking to get one of the vote yes yard signs, they'll be selling them, $10. Mm-hmm. So then, of course, on the 27th, we'll have the GOP Lieutenant Governor debate. And we'll be broadcasting that live here on KNSS as well. So, and look at us. We're just like the exclusive source for your campaign headquarters.
We are just busy guys.
Right here at KNSS. Mm-hmm. Terry, you're on, speaking of gubernatorial campaign, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
I see. John, having a good show tonight.
Thank you.
It's a short two-part question. The first part is simply this. Kansans for Life. Do they ever endorse more than a candidate? And the second part is, was there any release of why President Trump really did endorse Ty Masters. And I watched the video or the TV debate that they had, and I'm just kind of curious how you thought Sarnecki might do. But that part is those parts about why. I was just, and then do Kansans for Life ever pick two people? Because it yes. didn't they, don't they support Masterson?
So they, yes, Kansans for Life endorsed Ty.
Oh, right.
And they, it was actually kind of a surprise, I think, to many that they did a single endorsement, only because, not for Phil, but actually because of Scott Schwab, because he also has a pro-life voting record. Having been in the legislature and having received, mm-hmm. gratefully, I received their endorsement every year that I was in the legislature, and every time I ran, for that matter. By the way, in Kansas politics, if you're a Republican, KFL's endorsement is worth anywhere from 5 to 15 points, depending on the House district or the statewide ballot. For Republicans. Now, so typically what they do is if you're an incumbent, if you have a voting record, then they tend to have an incumbent. Most of these organizations, the NRA, KSRA, you know, AFP, they typically have an incumbent friendly policy. So if there's no incumbent in the race, then they look at, do you have a voting record? So that's why I thought in the case of Jeff Collier, Ty Masterson, and Scott, I thought all three would probably get it. When Jeff dropped out, it became a little questionable whether or not they'd do a dual endorsement, which they have done before. In this case, when they released their announcement, they are so concerned about voters not knowing how bad a Republican Vicky Schmidt is. They didn't want to risk anyone voting for her. And so their worry was, we need to unite. This is their words, not mine, but they felt that we need to unite behind one candidate. We need to get everybody behind one candidate so that Vicky Schmidt doesn't sneak through because we split the field. And that was their thoughts. And so that's why they went the direction they went. And I will guess, and I know this is not a guess because I know this for a fact, but I imagine in the next few weeks you're going to see a number of other organizations do the exact same thing. Follow that lead, and I will bet there will be a number of other endorsements for Ty from other organizations trying to follow suit to make sure that we all get behind the same candidate. That would be my guess. But as for the debate, I thought Phil did a good job. I thought Ty did a good job. I thought Scott Schwab did a really good job articulating his message. You know, he talked about his bald plan for property tax relief. I thought he did a good job. I thought all three of them really, really did a job. I don't know if there was, you know, I thought there were a couple of moments where everybody excelled, and maybe one or two moments where there were some stumbles. But by and large, I thought it went really well. What did you think?
I thought they all did pretty well, but do you think there's a reason, or have you already stated your reason why you thought Trump went ahead then and endorsed Masterson just because of the Vicky Schmidt thing?
I think, well, nobody wants, well, Republicans in general don't want Vicky Schmidt. I think, two, so I have to keep in mind what I can share and what I can't share because I have information. I think the president, Donald Trump likes to back winners. And I think he probably looked at it and said, I think this guy is going to win. And so I'm going to back who I think is going to win. Again, here's another major factor here. Jeff Collier got out. I think had Jeff Collier not, you know, that would have been different, but I think he also got out because of the Trump endorsement. That Trump endorsement was a major factor, and I've seen some recent polling that indicated how impactful that endorsement is for this race.
And wasn't there one TV ad where President Trump talked about how good this Collier was?
That was actually from the previous. That was back 4 years right. ago. So yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Nothing recent.
And Jeff was a great governor, but that was back when Donald Trump came and visited, when Attorney General Kobach was running for governor, and I was working for Kobach during that campaign, and we brought the president in, for a rally in Topeka. And sure. It was at that rally that, at the time, Collier was governor and the president was acknowledging our governor. And to his credit, Collier used that clip in his ads. And, hey, good for him. I would, too. Yeah. Why do you think my profile picture shows me in a picture of Donald Trump? Because I got to meet the president, and I'm going to put that picture on my profile.
What else would you do?
Amen. So I hope that answers your questions. You know, I think, look, you can't go wrong with whomever you're picking. If you're choosing between Ty or Phil Czarnecki, I think you're, or Scott, I think you're probably, all three of those are good choices. I have, my own personal preference, but I'm keeping that personal. People keep asking me, Phil, they were asking me, I was down in Cowley County yesterday for their picnic. By the way, thanks to the folks in Cowley County, put on a heck of a show. Great, great little picnic down there, huge crowd. But I was down there for the picnic, and people kept asking me, hey, who do you like? I'm wearing one sticker, a Roger Marshall for Senate sticker. And they're like, hey, well, how come you're not wearing a governor sticker? Who do you like for that? I'm like, oh, no, no. Yeah, I am not gonna say who I'm supporting in that race. But boy, I bet you 2 dozen people came over. Try to get me to tell them who I like the governor's
race. Valid question, I suppose, but primary season is still in full bloom right now, so we need to get through this first.
Yes. Well, and too many of them are friends. I mean, I served. I served with Scott. He was in the house when I was in the house. Ty is a friend. I mean, we were across the hall, but I've still served with him to an extent. Phil Czarnecki is. I really like Phil. I think there's some. I love the idea. I mean, heck, I worked for Wink Hartman.
Yeah.
I love the idea of a businessman.
He was great
running for governor.
Yeah, he was great when he was here.
Yes,
with us in studio, it was great.
I love that, the whole concept of a businessman running, or an outsider running for governor. So, all three of them, I think, would make great candidates. Those three, in my opinion, can't go wrong. That if you wanted a suggestion, there's my suggestion. Narrow your field to those three, and then begin your investigation from there. There you go. I gave you some advice. I gave you some guidance. I also would recommend you don't look beyond those three. There's about as much guidance as I'm going to give you in the governor's race. Pick one of those three and don't ask again. We'll take a quick break. Then I want to hear what you think. Our studio lines are open. 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. 1% of Kansas's population are attorneys, yet they control the entire Kansas Supreme Court selection process. Our Kansas Supreme Court should be no different than 55 Kansas counties that already elect their judges. If you want more information, if you've got questions about the ballot language coming up in August, visit votersnotlawyers.com and find out more. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Don't forget, coming up this Thursday, we've got the next Republican governor's candidate forum. It's being hosted by the Sedgwick County Republican Party. You can find out information on that at sedgwick.gop. We'll be broadcasting it live right here on KNSS as well.
Yes, we will.
Yep. Phil, what do you got? I saw you.
I've got something here, and we can kill two birds with one stone here.
Okay.
I want to promote the Odyssey app, and we just got a message on the Odyssey app, and I'll let you explain that here in just a minute. But Todd left a message on the Odyssey app. Wanted to talk a little bit more about Graham Platner and the Democratic
hypocrisy
of the Democrats. This is just an unbelievable story. I can't believe the blind eyes that are being turned.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Yeah, so the Odyssey app, if you download the Odyssey app, it's a great way, by the way, to listen. You can listen online. You can listen anytime. You can rewind. You can do all of that. It's Odyssey app on Android and Apple devices. But one of the features there is you can go to record a message, and if you click that, you can record. I think it's a 60 second.
I think it's 60 seconds.
Yep. Yes. And you can record a message. It'll send it directly to us, And if you're polite, we'll play it on the air if you want us to. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, in this case, so it's the Odyssey app, by the way. Go there, hit that, download it, record a message, send it to us, and we'll play it.
I know you've used it for the morning show.
Yes, we use it all the time on the morning show. But at any rate, so Todd wants to know, I mean, what this really for me is their hypocrisy for backing. They're so desperate to take control of Congress that they're willing to basically compromise their principles. They're backing a guy who's got a oyster gruppenfuhrer, as I like to call him. I mean, the guy has a Gestapo tattoo on his chest. Anyone promoting this guy is not fit to represent the people of the U.S. And any argument that Democrats have framed in the past against Trump, against anyone else, Republicans, is now null and void, in my opinion. You've lost the moral high ground, like they had much anyway. Mm-hmm. But the media for that, any credibility is now shot. They've revealed themselves to be nothing but partisan hacks, but hypocrites, liars. At least you had moral high ground. I mean, I know, for example, I'll give you a good example, and that's right now with me and Vicky Schmidt, okay? I don't want to lose the governor's office. I'll be very honest with that. But you know, at the same time, I don't want to pro-abort in the governor's office, whether they're a Republican or a Democrat. So I'm very honest with the fact that I'm not voting for Vicky Schmidt. I don't want her in there. Mm-hmm. And which is why I'm very public in my opposition to Vicky Schmidt, because I don't really see any difference between her and any of the three leftists on the Democrat side. She's probably better than Cindy Holscher.
Or the current governor.
Actually, I don't think Vicky Schmidt and Laura Kelly are any different. Mm-hmm. I think if we get Vicky Schmidt in there, you're basically just getting another 4 and probably 8 years of Laura Kelly. So, you know, that's why I – but that being said – if Cindy Holscher is their nominee, I would hold my nose and probably vote for Vicky Schmidt, because she's probably better than Cindy Holscher.
Yeah.
And a write-in candidate's worthless. So, but that's why you can't have it. But at least I've got – those are my principles, and I will stand on my principles. These Democrats that are right now twisting themselves into pretzels to defend Graham Plattner have proven themselves to be nothing but hypocrites, mm-hmm. liars. Because in the span of less than a year, they've elected a communist mayor, and now they've nominated a guy with a Nazi tattoo who's a serial wife, a serial abuser, and they're just making excuse after excuse for this guy. At what point does someone on that side of the aisle stand up? I mean, other than the senator from Minnesota, the big bald guy with to always wear the hoodie.
From Pennsylvania.
Sorry. Other than him, Fetterman.
Fetterman.
There's no Democrats that are willing to stand up and say no. Where's their integrity? It's crazy that the only guy on the other side of the aisle with any integrity is John Fetterman.
Yeah.
The guy. Speaking of which, John Fetterman might as well switch his party affiliation now. But I mean. They're exposing themselves for what their Trump derangement syndrome has gotten so bad that they want to elect a Nazi, because we hate Donald Trump so much that we'll pick this guy because he might empower us a little bit more, might make it that much easier for us to impeach Donald Trump. That's how bad it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's true crazy. That shows how obsessed they are with DJT.
Yeah. So let's pivot back.
Todd. Thank you for the message, Todd. Yeah. Thank you.
So let's pivot back real quick, as we've got like 30 seconds or so, or about a minute or so.
Okay.
So pivot back here to local, and we go back to this is where anyone listening to our voices right now, do your homework, like you said earlier.
Yes. I mean, like we've
this
got
is primary this. Season. Do your homework on these candidates, and let's figure out.
Yeah.
This is the time right now.
It's like the race that I mentioned up there in Newton, House District 72. I mean, you've got a race where I'm hoping that we can get one of the candidates. His name is Michael Stavola. He's saying all the right things, but he won't answer questions. He's finally gotten back to us. Hopefully he'll come on the air. Trust me, if he doesn't come on the air in the next week or two, we're going to expose him. We'll see. But, you know, we'll give it a time. Coming up this Thursday, make sure you join us or tune in for the Governor Roundtable. In the meantime, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning for Woodward and Witt. Carry on.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.